Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to all our listeners. This is the Business Day Spotlight. My name is Mliwa Gavaza, and for today, it is a Wednesday. We sort of get into some of the industry news and economics. And for today, we are focusing on an industry that really took a hit during this COVID-19 crisis, and that is the tourism industry. This week, we got news coming out from Stats SA that there has been a 51% decline in South Africa's GDP for the second quarter on an annualized basis. And because of that, we've seen industry body, the Tourism Business Council of South Africa, coming together and calling for the opening of borders to let tourism breathe life into the economy, because they're actually arguing that it is a top export earner and a high employment creator, and that it's going to be a necessary industry to help South Africa on the road to recovery. So to sort of help us unpack what sector players are saying, we are joined by Chipiwa Chivengwa, who is the CEO of the Tourism Business Council of South Africa, to help us unpack what tourism's place is in the economy and how it could help the economy to move forward as more and more industries have opened up in level 2 of the lockdown. Chipiwa, greetings to you.
Thank you very much for having me. It's a pleasure.
I think a good place for us to start is, for the benefit of those that may not have heard of the Tourism Business Council, what is the structure, what is the setup, who are you guys representing?
Well, the Tourism Business Council of South Africa is the apex private sector representative body, of course, representing the interests of the private sector tourism businesses to ensure that tourism in South Africa runs smoothly, and to ensure that, there aren't any red tapes from the policy point of view that inhibit tourism, to realize its full potential. So our job as a Tourism Business Council is to make sure that we are, proactive in issues around policy formulation. We are proactive on issues around ensuring that, industry is receiving proper communication in terms of the alignment with government, alignment with South African tourism and provincial bodies. To ensure that, the needs of the industry are well taken care of, as I've said, to the full extent that ensures that, we grow positively to the economy, we grow jobs, and also we ensure that there is transformation within the industry. So our job is to lobby government and also to organize the industry on the ground to make sure that we are well organized as a body, and that we are, hunting as a pack and for the same goals.
And what type of businesses actually fall under your purview? Are we just talking, hotels and resorts, that type of thing? How far does your purview go?
Well, we represent the entire value chain of tourism. Within the Tourism Business Council, you have, the accommodation sector, both big, hotels and resorts, as well as small B&Bs and guest houses and guest farms and so forth and so on. We also have the car rentals within our membership. The list goes on to conference organizers and conference venues. We also have, the inbound tour operators. We have the travel agents. We have the local and regional airlines, as well as the international airlines. We have activities in terms of attractions and things that people do when they go and do tourism. And the list goes on, big businesses, small businesses, and everyone, who is involved, in tourism, we deal, with, the entire value chain. So that's the example of the types of businesses, that are affiliated to the Tourism Business Council. So it starts from small to big, from north to south, east to west, and everything in between. that has to do with tourism is represented by the Tourism Business Council. Although some may not be members of the Tourism Business Council, we represent the majority, which is upward of 80% of the industry. And also those that are not members, they do benefit from the work that we do because we do it for the entire industry.
So, you know, with that as sort of a backdrop, can you give us just some insight? Because it certainly does sound like you guys are representing a large sector of people and different interest groups and stakeholders. And because you guys are calling for, you know, borders to be opened and for international guests to be coming in, I think, for our benefit, it would be good to understand what tourism's place is in the economy. You know, what is the actual contribution of the sector to the economy? Because we always hear that it's a big sector, but quantitatively, what does that mean?
Well, you know, in terms of the GDP contribution to the South African economy, we're looking at around 8.6%. Although now during COVID, you know, one can argue differently because of the lockdown that we've had. But, you know, in 2019, 8.6% of the total GDP contribution. In terms of the total number of jobs that are supported by tourism, you're looking at around 1.5 million jobs. We have high number of SMMEs within our sector. We estimate around 49,000, could be a little bit more. If you look at, you know, the being an export industry in terms of bringing in Forex, we're looking at 120 billion that we bring in 2018. In 2019, the numbers are still being worked on, but we believe it's going to be similar, if not slightly higher than that. If you look at the total spend, you know, of tourism, in terms of both domestic and international, in 2018, it was 273.2 billion rand, which translates loosely to around 748 million rand per day that people spend on tourism within South Africa. And also, if you look at the restaurant spend, you know, outside of that, you know, you're looking at around 33.8 billion. There's still casinos that around 18.9 billion. So it's a large economic, you know, sector, you know, that needs to be recognized for what it contributes to this country in terms of jobs, in terms of GDP, and what I've already mentioned. And if you look at what we spend, you know, on capital and supply chain, you're looking at around 206 billion rand that we spend, you know, let's say in 2018, 2019. You're also looking at, you know, we buy around 12.5% of locally manufactured vehicles for car rental companies. It means that we impact local manufacturing. And we can go further in manufacturing. We talk about things that we buy in terms of, you know, arts and crafts. We can talk about, you know, things that, you know, those that are in furniture business produces for us, and many, many other things, you know, that are manufactured that are being utilized within the tourism space. We also impact the retail sector about 8%. You know, the list goes on. As I've said, manufacturing is there. We impact the services industry. We are there when people are traveling around. We consume fuel, you know, also for the aeroplanes, you know, and for the vehicles. Construction, we do a lot of maintenance of our properties and building of new properties. If you look at agriculture, there are many farmers that are, you know, supplying our industry specifically. You know, and making sure that, you know, we get quality products. So the list goes on. We are one of those sectors that a lot of people, you know, don't realize that we are large, larger than mining in terms of employment. We're also probably the third in terms of earning, you know, being an export industry or export sector, other than mining and maybe one or two things. So we are an industry that attracts good investment into the country. We're an industry, you know, that supports a lot of jobs and a lot of SMMEs within our sector. That's the economic value of tourism in South Africa.
No, it does sound like you guys do encompass a lot, and there's a lot of numbers that are actually now, you know, cementing in my head how big the actual sector is and its contribution to GDP. Particularly one of the numbers you stated at the beginning that you know, the sector is earning over 700 million rand a day. That's a huge number. you know, especially, you know, in a country where unemployment is at the level it is. I think you've definitely made a case for why tourism is as important as it is. But in terms of opening up the country to, you know, foreign travel, etc., how are you guys actually proposing that be done, especially given all the health concerns, social distancing, and you know, some of the perhaps changes in people's behavior? Do you know, how are you guys thinking about that?
Look, what we've done since the beginning of lockdown, especially when the risk adjusted strategy was introduced, you know, we sat down as a sector and said we need to develop you know, protocols, health and safety protocols, to mitigate the spread of COVID-19 within the value chain of our sector. Then we went around and met with everyone within the value chain, and we developed robust protocols that, you know, ensures that, you know, those principles, you know, that you've mentioned around sanitizing, wearing a mask, social distancing, and so forth and so on. We make sure that those are incorporated into the protocols. And we made sure that, you know, as a sector, you know, we can get a higher adoption rate in terms of, you know, people using these protocols. So as soon as we develop those, we made sure that as a sector we adopt them. We even make sure that, you know, our protocols are accepted by the World Travel and Tourism Council, which have endorsed our protocols. And, you know, it makes sure that, you know, we are competitive in terms of, you know, the global standards when it comes to health and safety. So we did that, and we managed to get domestic travel open. Although it was open late, in my opinion, we should have opened it quite early, probably a month ago from now. We should have had people go around to sustain this industry. Now we're talking about the international, you know, borders being opened. And the reason for that is it's the same as for the domestic. We believe that the protocols that we've put in place are robust enough, and people should be allowed to travel into South Africa from, you know, overseas or, you know, within the region, you know, so that, you know, they can sustain tourism. We will use the very same protocols that we use for domestic leisure travel and business travel for the international travelers. In essence, you know, if we're receiving people that are coming from, you know, Europe, or people that are coming from African countries, you know, the same applies when they arrive here. Protocols that we use for domestic travel are going to be the protocols we use for those that are arriving from the international markets. Now, you know, if you look at, you know, the international markets, and you look at the concerns that, you know, people may have in terms of, oh, you know, you're bringing people that may be infected coming to South Africa. Remember, when you look at the population of that particular country, you're not bringing everyone that is coming from the UK who's infected into South Africa. We're bringing few people that are, you know, well-traveled. They usually, when they travel into the country, you know, they will, you know, as a matter of, you know, concern, they will go to their medical doctor to make sure that, you know, they have their, you know, travel injections and so forth and so on. So these are people that are in top shape, and they are used to traveling. They understand that, you know, we are working during COVID times, and they need to, you know, apply, you know, all these protocols and measures to mitigate the spread. So we're not just getting everyone, or let me put it this way, we're not getting only those that are infected and bring them into the country. Yes, is it going to happen that one person may come here and be infected? It may happen. But we have to look at it and say, you know, if to open up the borders, we need to have a formula that may say that, you know, let's look at the infection rate per million in that particular country and compare it with South Africa. If the infection rate is similar to ours or lower than ours, they pose no risk to us. Because, you know, already in South Africa, you've got 58 million South Africans that are going on about, you know, their daily lives. They go to malls, kids are going back to school. Those that are going back to work are going back to work. The roads are starting to get filled up again. You can see through traffic. So we will not be importing anything that's unique. We already have community transmission. What we need to do now is to make sure that we manage the disease, and we make sure that, you know, we have the protocols in place and people adhere to those protocols. There shouldn't be any further risk than what we already have in the country. And that's why we're saying open up the borders. We will be able to breathe some fresh, you know, contribution to this economy. we will be able to ensure that SARS earns money from, you know, corporate income tax, from payee, and also the airport passenger tax, you know, that SARS collects. So if we do that, you know, we will be impacting SARS, which then goes to the coffers. We'll also impact other state-owned, you know, enterprises like AXA, which by now, you know, without much of flying go, you know, around, they're probably, you know, suffering, and they may need a bailout from government. So with tourism being open, it will help, you know, those type of companies, you know, AXA, AT&S, and many other companies that are state-owned, so that they can also earn some income. Otherwise, we'll have every company becoming a burden of the state, and the state won't have income because we are not working. So we believe that tourism is simple. It's simple, you know, more simpler than manufacturing. Manufacturing, you have to go and get factories set up and so forth and so on. In tourism, we don't need to do anything other than opening borders. People will come here. We already have the infrastructure. In fact, our infrastructure is better than many first world countries, and people want to travel here. And, you know, that's the easiest way to end, you know, Forex. That's the easiest way to impact the economy. And we believe we can do so immediately, and we can do so safely.
It certainly does sound like there is a big case to be made for, you know, the country's borders to be opened. But I want to get your thoughts outside of international travelers coming to South Africa and the case that you have made for how it could be done in a safe and sustainable way. Do you think there's anything to be said about perhaps because people can't travel people can't travel outside of South Africa, and two, people, you know, are likely to have gotten tired of being indoors, especially in level five and four and maybe parts of level three. Do you think there's anything to be said about, a rise in domestic travel and perhaps South Africans that would otherwise have gotten on a plane to go overseas, perhaps frequenting some of the local sites as a way to increase domestic travel? Do you think there's anything to be said about that?
Look, I think that, you know, what we're seeing now is that, you know, everyone, like you said, is tired of staying at home. People are getting out, getting into their vehicles and driving to many places around the country, and going to many attractions around the country. I think that's good. And those that were, you know, planning to go overseas, if they can travel, you know, here in South Africa for now, you know, I think that's good. But I don't think that's sustainable. I think that it's sort of, you know, people get out for this month and next month will be on a standstill because everyone will be back at home and saying, well, you know, I'm waiting to take that trip overseas. Now, one of the things that we ought to be you know, careful of, you know, especially when it comes to those outbound travel, those people, South Africans that wants to go elsewhere, they will always go elsewhere where they want to go. And we do want them to travel as well because it forms part of tourism value chain. We have a large segment of tourism that's dependent on sending people out of this country and they earn a living by doing so. And also airlines, when they decide to come to South Africa, it's not only to just come and drop people. They must have another load to go back with. Otherwise, it's not going to be sustainable. So it's important that when we promote tourism, we promote it both ways. It's all well and good to get people to travel South Africa. We want that. We want the money to circulate. But remember, we're also marketing for people to come to South Africa from overseas because we want to end, you know, that foreign you know, exchange. So it's important that we look at it and say, you know, there is a bigger picture here. Yes, we do want people to travel their own country, and we want this to be sustainable. Domestic leisure travel is important, you know, for us in South Africa. But over and above that, you know, there are two components of travel that sustain domestic market. One is government travel. As you know, government is one of the largest spender, if not the largest spender, you know, within the economy. So their travel bill, you know, it's quite large, and it can run between 20 to 30 billion rand per annum. You know, if you look at all spheres of government and you also look at state-owned companies. And then you also have corporate travel, you know, where you have got a lot of large companies, those that are in telecommunication, mining, you know, that are in oil and many, many, many other, you know, sectors they also travel and they impact domestic, so now, if you look at it now, government is not traveling, corporates are not traveling as much, things are done differently. People are having their meetings electronically. So therefore, there aren't many conferences that are taking place and so forth and so on. So we are losing a big chunk of domestic travel because, those segments are not traveling. It's only leisure travel that we're seeing some sort of life and people getting out. But remember, the biggest part of leisure travel is visiting friends and relatives, people getting into their vehicles and driving home to see their parents or to go to the funerals and so forth and so on. So, and majority of those don't stay in the full, they don't utilize the full value chain of tourism because they may not use accommodation, they may not fly, and so forth and so on. So what I'm saying is that, international borders opening is an important aspect for tourism, both for business tourism and for leisure tourism. And also outside of tourism, it's important for investments into the country. There are a lot of people who want to come here. They want to put money into the country. Now they cannot travel into the country. We have met with, as an example, the ambassadors of few, European countries. And they've expressed to us that, they are ready, to get people from their country to travel into South Africa. So I believe that, that is the way to go. I believe that, domestic tourism, yes, it's important. Yes, we're doing it. Yes, we do want people to travel, but it's important that, we have a bigger picture of travel and tourism and how it operates and how it helps, us to get, people from overseas to come to this country. It's all intertwined.
It certainly does sound like everything is intertwined. As you said, definitely opening up the borders does sound like, and I hadn't thought about it in the way that you are describing, that everything is sort of circular in that way, and that everything sort of has a knock-on effect and everything affects everything, that opening up the borders does have all of those intrinsic values and knock-on effects as it does have in the economy. So as we end off the discussion, could you just talk to us about what impact COVID-19 has actually had on the tourism sector, as we got the details from Stats SA talking about a 51% GDP decline for the second quarter. We want to get your thoughts about the full year. As a sector, what are you projecting to, there's likely to be a contraction. How big is that contraction likely to be by the end of the year for the sector as a whole?
Well, we're most likely going to see, that 8.6% that will contribute to the GDP, being, halved, if not more than half, to about, say, 4%, which is going to be devastating for us, because it's already, devastating as we speak. If you look at the impact that COVID has had, is that number one, we had 600,000 employees, that are on UIFTS program, of which, around 300,000 may be retrenched because majority of companies are, downsizing by between 50% to 80%. So what you're going to see now is a lot of young people that were working within the industry, sitting at home because, companies have, are retrenching. So that is one clear thing that we've seen. Number two, the relief programs, that have been put out there, for tourism, there was a 200 million that, was put in for SMMEs that was paid out for around, 4,000 SMMEs. Now, if you look at that, it's a small amount of money. If you look at the impact that tourism has on economy and also on the fiscus. Now, we should have had a bigger stimulus, to deal with tourism and to make sure that tourism is supported, especially from the supply side. Because if the supply side, diminishes or falls apart, it's going to be much more difficult to market in the future because we won't have something to sell here on the ground. So we need to support the supply side so that we can then, the demand side can come in at some point and continue to support and sustain the supply side. So we have to, and the funds that we that have been put out there in terms of the government, you know, guarantee scheme, you know, it has its problems. We have raised its problems, you know, at NEDLAC level to say, you know, many people are unable to even access this. And if the industry is not even open yet, you know, banks are not even willing to take a chance because they will say, well, you are at high risk. We don't know when you're going to be opening. And that is why, you know, we're saying that, you know, the impact that it has had on the tourism, you know, it's far greater than probably any other industry. It has devastated the industry, wiped out many small businesses, which goes against, you know, the gains that we've made on transformation and getting a lot more entrepreneurs into this space and to offer new, you know, products in this space. So it is important and very, very important that in whatever we do, you know, tourism is supported, and the supporting of tourism is the opening of border, is the one last big thing that needs to happen immediately. And once that happens, we can then deal with issues of demand, of which the demand is going to be based on trust. And trust is going to be based on what protocols we've put on the ground to mitigate the spread of COVID-19. So it's very important that, you know, we open up the borders. It goes a long way in regaining the market share. And also, we have entered our high season. You know, the European markets, you know, and customers are deciding where they're going to go for their winter, you know, winter holidays, which is going to be summer for us. And coming to the Southern Hemisphere is the preferred thing to do to escape the winter in the Northern Hemisphere. And the continued, you know, delay of announcing the opening of the borders, you know, makes us the last country to be considered. People will go somewhere else. You know, they will go wherever it's open, and we will lose the market share. We will also lose the status of being the Southern Africa hub for aviation. Other countries are going to open. You know, the likes of Emirates and other major airlines will fly to those countries. We're going to lose this market permanently. And therefore, the jobs and the people that have been, you know, retrenched, that are sitting at home, that are hopeful that the industry will recover, they may not see the recovery in the next 2, 3, 4 years. So it's important that we open the borders now. We make this decision, however tough it may be. I think we need to lead by example in this continent, you know, as we have in the past, by opening up our borders, putting together things that measures in place to make sure that when people arrive at the airports or at the port of entry, you know, there is adequate social distancing, sanitization, and many things that are required. And let's get on with business. Let's get people back to work. Let's get small businesses again standing up, and also let's assist with, you know, with working capital, you know, from the banks, you know, open up their doors so that we can access some cash, you know, to be able to sustain the operations of our business. So that's why we're saying open up. We can help, you know, in ensuring that, you know, the GDP, you know, rise again. We can help ensuring that, you know, the unemployment figures are not as bad as they would be. And certainly we can help making sure that many entrepreneurs go back to work. So opening up borders has a larger impact. It's not only tourism. Everything is it's sitting on this. Manufacturing, agriculture, and many, many other, you know, sectors are also counting on this.
So that's the CEO of tourism, of the Tourism Business Council of South Africa, Chifua Chivengwa, giving us insights into the impact of COVID-19 on the tourism sector, and also making a case concurrently that our borders need to be opened, because international travel is one of those things that is likely to help South Africa to recover faster, because it is a big revenue earner for the country, employing about 1.5 million people around the country, and generating pre-COVID about 700 million rand per day. He's also just talking about the fact that when we open up the borders, it's not only just for the tourism sector, but also just making sure that there is foreign income coming into South Africa, and also allowing for foreign investment to also come to our shore. doors. And ending off, just highlighting the fact that this is, you know, spring in South Africa, entering summer, and it's a good time of the year that usually sees peak traffic coming to this part of the world. But without clarity on when the borders are going to open, there is a big risk that South Africa may lose its status as a hub in Southern Africa for airlines. At the same time, you know, first and foremost, also losing a lot of customers and travelers that would have come to South Africa who are making plans right now and will choose to go to other parts of the world. So that's been it. Thank you so much to Chifiwa for joining us for today.
This is Mudiwa's Take.
Very fascinating discussion with Chifiwa, and I think what I really liked about it is the fact that he came through with a lot of numbers, a lot of facts and figures just around what the actual contribution of tourism is to the local economy, 8.6% in 2019, and that in itself is a big number when you consider the fact that almost a tenth of South Africa's GDP or production in a year economically is coming from that one sector. And also when you realize the type of businesses that actually fall under their purview as the Tourism Business Council, because you are talking, you know, outside of accommodation and the ones that we think about, hotels, etc., they're also talking about, you know, car rental businesses, restaurants, and all of that. And you're now talking about how car rental industry buys up about 12.5% of all vehicles in the country each year. And when you look at things from that point of view, you then realize that there is credence to the argument that that they are making. And more urgent is perhaps clarity just around when exactly the country's borders are going to be opened, because if not for anything else, perhaps the government could just give the public an indication of when they actually expect to have the borders open, just so that international travelers or anyone who wants to come to South Africa during this summer period actually can plan. Because without planning or without the clarity, that's where it becomes an issue. Because if a person is in Germany, for example, and wants to come to Cape Town or Durban for the festive season, but they aren't sure whether or not they'll be able to get into the festive season, and they want to secure bookings now, because we know how hard it will be to secure certain bookings when it comes to December, then you want to plan well in advance. And without that clarity, if they aren't going to open the borders, let's say tomorrow or in October, but the government could firmly say that we're going to open the borders on the 1st of November or the 1st of December, then it gives people clarity to say, okay, cool, I can actually plan, I can make my bookings, South African Airways, you know, go to make the hotel bookings, make car rental bookings, all of that. But without that clarity, as Chifiwa was saying, there is that risk that South Africa will lose out when it comes to people making their plans. And also some insight into just how big government travel is. I think that's one of the big ones that really stood out to me. You really don't think about it that much, but government travel and corporate travel is really a big thing. And outside of the fact that borders aren't open and people have been moving around a lot, it will be interesting to see how the new way of working, quote unquote, is going to affect some of those dynamics. Because you hear company executives saying it time and time again, even people in government talking more and more about the fact that now that people have become accustomed to things like Zoom and Microsoft Teams and video conferencing, a lot of people are talking about how they're going to be saving money on travel in future, but actually measuring to see what that actual impact will be when we get to level one. That is something that a year from now we'll definitely be looking to see. Does that impact overall, let's say, overall GDP contribution of travel by a 1 percentage point, 0.5 percentage point? What does the new world of working, what does that do to overall travel in the country? that's it for this edition of the Business Day Spotlight. Now, remember that you can find our latest podcast on Business Live. That's under the podcast Business Day Spotlight tab. And then on Twitter, we're #BDSpotlight. Remember that you can also review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, or wherever you choose to get your podcasted. Thank you to our amazing team. Our producer is Paige Muller, together with Didi Mashamaite. I've been Mudiwa Gavaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail, and this has been another edition of the Business Day Spotlight, which is a multimedia live production. So for myself and the rest of the team, it is good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.